You know, one of my favorite pictures in my collection of pictures is a picture of me and my son, Levi. Levi, at that point, is about 5 years old, and I was in our kitchen cooking up some burgers on the stove. And my wife snapped a picture of my son standing beside of me. He was on a little chair, and he had an extra spatula, and he was just sitting there patting the burger, you know, and felt like he was helping out, helping dad out, you know, helping me figure out what I was doing. And so I was keeping a close eye on him because it was a hot stove. And as a young kid, he didn't realize the danger that could be involved in cooking and the danger of being right beside of a hot stove. And so I was keeping a tight eye on him, growing him up. And now my son is 13 years old. And I got to tell you, I'm proud of this kid. Because he's like a young man, he has grown up, and now when it's burger night at our house, at the Laughing House, all I say is, hey son, go start the grill. And so he's learned to go outside, he's been trained up, right, to go turn on the gas, start the grill, cook the burgers, and I just can stay inside and hang out with my wife, and I don't even have to do anything. And so I'm looking forward to one day to seeing that process continue, where as he grows up and moves out, maybe one day he'll invite dear old dad over to his place and he'll cook up some burgers for me. And I know all of us have said this, or at least we've heard this said at some time, right? They grow up so quick. Has anybody ever said that? Can I get a hand raise? Put it in the chat. They grow up quick. Yeah, we say that, and sometimes we say that sentimentally, like, oh man, they're growing up too quick. I wish they would stop growing up. And that's just a sentiment. We don't really want them to stop growing, because if they did stop growing, that would actually be a problem. What we really mean is that we want to enjoy every moment that we have with our children as they grow up and remember those things well. But we know that part of what we are doing as parents, part of our responsibility that God has given us as parents, is to train up and to educate our children so that when it's time for them to go out, that they are prepared for the world that they are entering. And so today we're going to be talking about a church that is growing up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, thank you for the word that you've given us so that we can know you. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit so that we can continue to be guided by you day by day, moment by moment. And right here, right now, in this moment, God, I pray that you would guide all of our thoughts, that you would capture our attention, Lord, that you would guide our eyes to the words of scriptures, and Lord, that you would focus our minds on what it is that you're trying to share with us. And Lord, I pray that we would not only see these things and learn these things, but that we would take these things to heart. And I pray this in Christ's name, amen. Take some notes today. The title of the message, A Church That's Growing Up. You know, we're talking about the future of the church here at Belmont, and we are seeking the Lord right now on what the future of the church looks like, both here specifically at this church, but also that's connected to the American church in some way, to say, what is God doing at this point in history? And sometimes it's helpful to kind of step outside of your situation and look at the big picture and see exactly what is happening and try just to meet with the Lord. And what we're doing here as a church family is just putting everything on the table. How we've done things, why we've done things, how we're going to function in the future. And we're just saying that we want to be a church that is willing to grow and change and be guided by the Lord and not just be stuck on past traditions, but be and do what God wants us to do right now in this moment. Turn in your copy of the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to continue our series called The Future of the Church. A church that's growing up. Now, I thought about titling this message, A Church That's Grown Up. But the truth is that growing up is always a process that never ends. From now to the end of our lives, we should always be people who are maturing, who are growing, and who never plateau, who never just stop. Because growing up in Christ and having the fullness of Christ inside of us is something that we never fully attain to in this world. And so today, as we're talking about a church that's growing up, we're going to see the Apostle Paul sharing with his church family in Ephesus three things. We're going to see him sharing these steps to maturity, and then he's going to share with them these snapshots of maturity, and then we're going to see he's going to share with them signs of maturity. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing from a Roman prison 1,500 miles away from his church family, the church family that he loves, that he cares about, that he's poured his life into. In Acts chapter 19 and 20, we see the narrative, the story behind this, and Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders there, and he's saying, hey, you're never going to see me again, but remember this, that I gave my life for this church. I love this church. I care about it. I've toiled over it, and I prayed for it day and night with tears in my eyes, and I want the best for this. And so he's writing from a prison, and he's encouraging this church. And what's he telling them? He's telling them this. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember your identity in Christ, that you are chosen by God the Father and redeemed by God the Son and sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Remember that you are adopted into God's family and that you are special to him. And because of that, you have been unified into one family called the church. But then as we come out of chapter 3, he begins to get really practical with them and say, now, because of what you believe, because of what you know, because of what you understand, this is how you should live. And basically what he's telling them today in these six verses, verses 11 through 16, is this. Grow up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep growing up. Yes, I've seen growth in you from when I was there and what I've heard about you. But keep growing up. And really, that's the pinnacle in verse 13 that you'll see, is that he just says, I want you to be mature. Let's read starting in 11. He says this. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the first thing Paul is writing to this church family that he loves so dearly, what he is sharing with them are a few steps toward maturity. How are they going to reach the maturity that he's painting for them in verse 13? Well, we start out in verse 11 and we see that one of those steps, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, is leadership. Why do we say that? Well, verse 11 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You see, if you back up just a few verses, in verses 7 through 10, the apostle Paul is writing and he says that grace has been given to us, and that Jesus has given his church gifts. Now, that means that each one of us at the time of our salvation has received at least one spiritual gift that you can put into use in the life of the church. But what he's also referring to in this passage is that he is saying that the leaders in the church, he has given as a gift to the church. Now, that's in some ways like parents in a family, right? You know, in order for a family to grow up and to become mature, for kids to go from infants that are just thinking about themselves and what they need to grow up into full maturity, into adulthood, they need parents who love them and care for them and give their life for them. But those kids don't always appreciate their parents, do they? You know, when kids turn about 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, I don't know if this happened to you, but I remember that it happened to me, that as I became into my teenage years, I began to think that I knew more than my mom and dad. Sorry, mom and dad. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Thanks for watching today. But I admit it, there was a time in my life where I was a know-it-all. I was a cocky dude who thought I knew more than I really did. And later on in life, I looked back and I was like, oh my goodness, how embarrassing to look back now and have to go back and apologize and say, I'm sorry. I truly am. I'm sorry for the way that I acted because I didn't understand the responsibility and the weight on your shoulders and all the things that you were juggling and everything that was going on in the life of the family. And you were giving your time and your efforts and your finances to take care of those things. And I just want to say thank you. In the same way, God has given spiritual leaders into the life of the church. He says the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherd teachers. A lot of scholars would say that the shepherd teacher or pastor teacher there is really just one title. And so he's given these roles, these offices in the life of the church to help build the church up. Now, in the most restrictive sense of the term apostle and prophets, capital A apostle, capital P prophets, those were foundational offices that were critical for the institution of the church early on. But we know that the apostles, especially the 12 apostles that were called by Jesus, they've now left this earth and they're with Jesus in heaven. And so that office is no longer necessary. And the office of prophet, the one that would have a direct revelation to the Lord and be able to share that with his people, that also has left. You might see a small gifting of those things, but not in the same way that we see here in the scriptures, because now we have the scriptures. But the evangelist and the pastor teacher are gifts that God uses to build up, to minister to his church. And so we are blessed here at Belmont to have folks like Bill Olson and to have folks like Tim Ward here and to have folks like Wesley Williams who give so much of their time and talent and energy and the gifting that God has given them to minister to this church family. Just this past Monday night, we were together for about 4 hours meeting and talking and thinking and praying about the life of the church. And much of that time was spent praying name by name by name of people who are part of this church family and asking God to bless them and to encourage them and to grow them into maturity. And so what is a step toward maturity in your spiritual life? It's to realize that God has given leaders in the church for your good. And a lot of times we as Christians can be like children who don't appreciate that. Or a lot of times we just want to say, you know what? I'm on my own. I don't need any spiritual authority. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do things my way. I don't understand why we're thinking like that or why we're going in that direction. Are we there yet? But instead, what we need to say is, you know what? I'm going to be committed to this family. No matter what, I'm not going to go wandering around. This is the family that God has put me in. I trust the men that he's put in place to lead this church. And I may not agree with everything or understand everything, but we want to respect these guys, the work that they give, and the talent and the gift that God has given to this family. That's a sign of maturity. Christians who are not committed to a church family and are just skipping around from place to place and not wanting anyone to speak into their lives and not have any accountability in their lives, put themselves in a dangerous place and in a place that's really actually, they think, mature, but actually turns out is very immature. And so that's one step toward maturity, is to place yourself under God-given leadership. What else? Equipping. So first step, leadership. Second step, equipping. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers for what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. You see, the role of the pastor, shepherd, teacher is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. You know, at your house, if you have small children that you're raising right now, your job as a parent is not to do everything for that kid, okay? Now, early on, yes, when children are infants, they need just milk and they need your time and attention and they need lots of it and they need your love. But as those children grow up, more and more of our responsibility is to teach them and to equip them to do the things that they're going to need to do to mature, to grow up, to do well in school, and to go out into the world and face the world and be a good citizen and be a good Christian and be a good parent themselves one day. And so we actually do our children a disservice if they're 16, 17, 18 years old and we're still babying them, right? When we're still coddling them and washing their clothes for them and cooking their burgers for them. No, when my kids are 16, 17, and 18, they're going to be waiting on me, right? All right, maybe not like that. But we do want to make sure that we are equipping them, and that is what the role of the church is this, is that we want to equip the saints, that's you, people who have Christ in them, to do the work of ministry. That word ministry there is the word serve. And so the role of the pastor is not to just do everything for the congregation and for the congregation just to show up once a week and listen to a message and to get a meal, so to speak. But the job of the pastor, shepherd, teacher is to help equip the saints to actually do the work. And so it would be like somebody having a personal trainer and that personal trainer says, hey, meet me at the gym. And they show them around the gym and they show them all of the equipment, right? They're providing them the equipment that they need and they show them how to use it. But they can't actually go in there and lift the weights for them, can they? No, instead, they're showing them how to use the equipment and they're encouraging them to go do it and to serve. And so that is how we grow. And that leads us to the next point, which is a funny one, right? It's bodybuilding. So what is a step toward maturity? Bodybuilding. Where do we get that from? Well, he says that they were going to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. So there's a progression that's happening here. The progression is this, is that you've been equipped for the work of the ministry. You've placed yourself under the teaching of God's word. You've taken a look at all the other equipment that the church has provided, such as community groups that you can get involved in. And instead of making an excuse of why you can't be involved in that, you actually sign up and you do go and you get involved in that process. And when there's a 90-day challenge to read through the New Testament, you take that challenge and you get in God's word. And when there's a class teaching us how to study the Bible, we go to that and then we actually implement that equipment that we've learned and we put that into practice. And that's the exercise. But that exercise lays on the shoulders of the people in the church, the building up the body. In fact, Paul circles back around in the last verse, in verse 16, and he says it in a slightly different way. He says that when it is equipped, each part is working properly and makes the body grow, check this out, so that it builds itself up in love. So the body, when it's equipped, and begins to exercise the gifts that you've been given by God, and you begin to exercise those things and work those muscles, that the body together as one unit exercises and grows and builds itself up in love. So what are the steps to maturity that Paul is sharing with his church family? Number one, leadership. Number two, equipping. Number three, bodybuilding. Put it into practice. Don't just think about it. Don't just take notes about it, but put those things into practice. And then we can say, you know what? Belmont is on its way to being a mature church, a church that is growing up. Then Paul gives us some snapshots of maturity, right? He says, that's the steps to get there. Now, how would I describe maturity to you, church at Ephesus? Well, then we get to verse 13, and he says this, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so that's his definition there of maturity, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we see three things there. Number one, unity, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, wait a second, Pastor John. I remember you saying last week that unity is something that we don't create, it's something that we maintain. That's right. You see, unity has been created by God. It's not something that we just create out of the blue. When you were born again, you were adopted into the family, into a unified family, and you are a part of that family. So in that sense, positionally, we have been unified, and we need to maintain that unity. But then there's a unity that Paul's talking about here in this verse. He says, but as we mature, we want to attain to a greater degree of maturity. And what kind of maturity is that? Well, he talks about it in two ways. He says, a baby that's just been born, like the baby that Derek and Becca just had a couple of days ago. Congratulations, by the way, guys. Can we give them a... Yeah, that is so awesome. Now, what was I saying? So that baby is 100% an equal part of that family right from the get-go. They are unified. But as they grow up and they learn how to be a queerin, how they function as a family, how to talk, how to think, how to grow, how to operate, then they attain a greater degree of unity. And the unity that Paul's talking about here is the maturity of this, is both the knowledge of the Son of God, this experiential knowledge, and he also says the unity of the faith. Let's read it again. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so there's two parts to this unity. Number one, there's the unity of the faith. That is what we believe. And so more and more as we do life together, you know, as a church is forming and growing, there's always going to be things, secondary issues, that people have freedom to think differently on. But then as they listen to more and more of my teaching, they get right on those things and they come to the right position, right? That's a terrible joke. Sorry. That was bad. So, scratch that. There's a unity of the faith. A body of knowledge, doctrine that we subscribe to, and we're learning in that. And the more that we all study the scriptures together and learn together, we become more unified in what we believe. But also the knowledge of the Son of God is an experiential kind of knowledge. And so we want to grow both in our understanding, in our thinking of good theology, but we also want to grow together and be unified in our experiential knowledge and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you want to grow to maturity, you can't just study a book all day long and not really know Jesus. And there's plenty of people that can recite large passages of Scripture and know lots of doctrine, and they love their doctrine more than they love their Jesus. But there's also people who love Jesus and have a heart for Him, but they've cast away right thinking and good doctrine. And so what we want to do in order to be unified and be mature is to be a church that loves both, that loves to think rightly about our Heavenly Father and also loves to be in continual daily relationship with Him. What else do we see in this snapshot? Well, we see a snapshot, these pictures that Paul has given us here, and he talks about adulthood. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Son of God, here it is, to mature manhood. So he's painting these quick little pictures to help us understand what he's talking about when he's talking about spiritual maturity, mature manhood. You see, there's a difference that you can see right away between a preteen kid and a full-grown person, right? It's an adulthood. There's a way that someone carries themselves. There's a way that they've been growing up and they become more mature in how they live out their life. Now, growing up or getting old is not really optional, but they say that growing up is, right? You get older and older no matter what, but that doesn't always mean that you're going to become more and more mature. And so we've all met people, right? Maybe we are these people who have gotten older and older, but in a lot of ways, we're just really immature and kind of like a big kid and have areas of our lives that have just plateaued and stayed the same for years and years and maybe even decades. And Paul is saying, be an adult, be a spiritual adult. Don't be okay with just being a teenage spiritual person forever. And then he talks about stature, unity, adulthood, stature, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, here we go, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is a mouthful. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The picture he's given here is kind of like this picture that we have in my house of, on the wall, we have a measuring board, right? Anybody have a measuring board in your house where you mark off kids and see how high they are? You got one back there? All right. So every once in a while, we'll line the kids up and they'll back up to this board, right? And they're always trying to get a little bit taller because they want to be a little bit bigger than they really are. And then they want to check how much they've grown since the last time they got measured. And I'm like, Maggie, we just measured you this morning. Chances are you didn't grow another inch already. But that's how eager you and I should be when it comes to spiritual growth, that we want more growth, that we want to be taller. And he says, to the measure of the stature. And what's the measuring stick that we measure ourselves against spiritually? Is it against other believers? Is it against usually people who are not as far along spiritually as you are? Or maybe even against people who are not even believers to go, well, I'm not where I need to be, but at least I'm not like that person. That person's really struggling in this area, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty moral. No, you see, the measuring stick for spirituality and maturity is the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That is a lofty goal. The fullness of Christ is where we are trying to get to, that you and I would be so full of Christ that we would look just like Him, that we would be so full of Christ that we would be exuding His joy, His peace, His love to those around us. And people could easily see, without us putting on a show, that that person has been with Jesus. That person is in Christ, and Christ is in that person. And that is the picture of maturity that we're going for. Well, he gives them these steps toward maturity, and he gives them these snapshots of what maturity should look like. But then after that, the progression continues, and he shows us some signs of maturity. And we see that in verse 4. One sign of maturity is this. It's stability. Let's read. Why do we want to have the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You know, it's easy when children are small, they can be a little naive, and they'll believe anything you tell them, and so you can play practical jokes on them pretty easy. But as they get older, they start to go, wait a second, I know you're messing around. You're not telling the truth. You're messing with me. Because they've become more mature in understanding how the world works, and they've been able to think at a different level. And they could see through the schemes, the tricks that dad might be playing on them, the pranks that dad is playing. And so Paul is just saying this, hey guys, I want you to grow up in maturity. And one sign of maturity in the Christian life is stability. He doesn't want them to be children any longer, tossed to and fro by the waves. That's instability, right? That's being tossed to and fro. When I was a kid, me and my brothers used to go to the beach. And we lived close to the water. We would go to the beach, especially on a big wave, windy day. And we would play this games as like 7-8-year-olds, where we would try to walk out. You know, we weighed maybe 60, 70 pounds. And we would get out there, and these waves would just like pound us. And we thought it was so much fun to get bowled over by a gigantic wave. But we were totally unstable. Now when I go to the beach with my kids, my Olive is like, hey, Dad, pick me up. Carry me out. Because she wants to go further out into the waves. But she knows that she's not tall enough or strong enough to withstand against the waves and to get out as far as she wants to go. And Paul is using this to describe to this church at Ephesus that sometimes they can be like children who are tossed to and fro. How are they tossed to and fro? by every wind of doctrine. You see, there's all kinds of teaching and doctrine that swirl around, that float around, and sometimes they can seem really interesting and intriguing, and young Christians will chase after those things without thinking and without being doctrinally discerning. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't chase just everything. If these heretics come into the life of the church and they're teaching you this, and Paul wrote a number of letters against those heretics saying, don't believe that. That's not true. That's not right. That's not who God is. That's not how he wants you to relate to him. And so we need to be careful as we're growing into maturity that we discern, that we listen to teaching with discerning ears, and we put that teaching up against the word of God. And we say, is that right? Is that the way that I'm supposed to think? Is that what God's word says? And then as you grow to maturity and you add more and more of this truth to your mind and to your heart, right away, you'll be able, as a stable Christian, to be able to discern more quickly. Oh, that's not right. Something smells fishy about that. No, that something sounds a little off about that. And more, you'll be growing into maturity. And so he doesn't want them to be blown around by every wind of doctrine or by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And so not only does he not want them to get carried away with falsehoods, with lies, but also with human cunning, with emotionalism, with getting carried away with, wow, I heard this. This was really amazing. It moved me emotionally. It must be right. And to get swept away into a movement, perhaps, that is not of God, but that's from a human standpoint and emotional and moves people. But really, ultimately, it's based on a personality or immaturity. And so we want to be a church that's growing up, that's maturing, that's stable, that's rooted, that's got roots down deep, and so we're not being blown around by bad teaching or by human cunning or craftiness and just outright lies, deceitful schemes. What's another sign of maturity? Speech, right? How we talk. Paul says this in verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Apparently what he's getting at here is this, is that if we're speaking the truth in love, we'll be able to grow up in all kinds of ways. We'll be a well-rounded Christian, he says, in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So Christ, Jesus, is the kephale, the head of the church, the authority of the church, the chief shepherd. And if we, both from the pastors, teachers, shepherds, community group leaders, are hearing the truth consistently and hearing that truth in love, then we'll ultimately, over time, grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. But if we are a person who does not want to hear the truth, then we will not be able to grow up. And so there's a couple of ways that we could take this. Picture this, the picture of a fireplace, right? In that fireplace, there's a nice fire, and it's providing light so that you could read, and it's also providing warmth so that you can stay warm on a cold, icy day, right? Now, if you just took one of those elements, just say the warmth, but no light, if you had a fire that didn't provide any light, you would be warm, and that would be like love. And you might feel very loving and warm, but you'd be stumbling around in the dark, and you might fall off a stage, or you might go down the wrong path and believe the wrong thing. Or you might just say, hey, I just want all the light from the fire, but none of the heat. And some people love that, just the truth, just the light. But that truth can be really cold and lifeless without the warmth that comes from the fire. And so we want to be a church that's, number one, willing to speak the truth in love to each other. That we are mature, and that when we see something concerning, that out of a love for another brother and sister in Christ, we would go and we would speak to them. And that we'd be willing to give up our time and share how we used to maybe go down that same road and make those same mistakes, and to encourage that brother and sister to walk with Jesus more closely and to become more and more mature in Christ. And so that can be a tough thing to do, right? And we're not many people are wired with both equally, right? How many of you guys are like, man, I love people, but I have a really hard time with conflict? Who have I got? Anybody? You hate confronting people? All right. What about on the other end? You love confronting people and you just tell it like it is. We got one right here. Stay away from this guy. Right? I mean, we've all run into those people like, man, that guy is brutal. If you want someone to tell you the truth, go talk to Joel. He'll tell you how awful you are. And boom, it'll be like ice. There's room for some of that. But Paul says, our speech, speaking the truth in love, shows maturity. Let me flip that around. This is probably more important. Being able to receive that spoken word is vital to your spiritual growth. If you are a person who refuses to hear truth in your life, to receive it and wrestle with it and say, I think that might be right. I think I might need to change. I need to agree that I have some growing to do in that area. If instead you get angry and you lash back out at Joel and you say, how dare you say that? Chances are the more you lash out, the more you realize down deep that actually what he's saying, it's true, Alicia. All right, happy Valentine's Day. If he really loves you, he'll tell you the truth about yourself today. Husbands, if you love your wives, don't tell her the truth today. Wait till tomorrow. But if you want to be mature and grow up, stop that part of you that wants to lash out and flare up and be injured and either run away or fight back when someone tries to gently point out something in our lives that need improvement. I'm blessed with men in the church who have the freedom to speak into my life and say, hey, you know what? You need to do better in this area. And sometimes that's spiritual things, and sometimes that's just personal things in my life that I need to work on. I just had a dear brother that did that just a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, you know what? Keep that coming. I need that because I'm like everybody else. I have weak spots and blind spots, and I can't grow unless people share those things with me. So if you want to grow, be willing to hear that and to change. Speaking the truth in love, you'll be able to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. So what are signs of maturity? Stability, speech, and last but not least, service. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, get this, when each part is working properly, that makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You've probably heard it said in the life of the church before that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, right? That's just an old phrase. It's used in many industries, actually. But in church life, people have said that 20% of the people, there's a small pocket of people who do a lot of work in the church. And then there's a lot of people in the church who just kind of show up and attend church. But Paul here is saying that for spiritual maturity to happen in the life of the church, that every part needs to be working properly. You see, God has given you a spiritual gift. And in order to grow and to flex and to strengthen that gift and to strengthen yourself personally, you need to engage in the work of the ministry. So you see, the truth is that all of us as believers, we're all ministers. We believe in the priesthood of the saints, the priesthood of the believer. That is, the Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of us, and we all have a gift and a role to play, and when we all function and do what we're called to do, the church is healthier and stronger and more mature. But when some people sit on the sidelines or sit in the stands as observers and they just watch the game happening on the field, then the body is not growing the way that it should. We don't believe that there's just paid professional clergy that should do all of the work and then other people just chip in a little bit to help out. No, instead, we know that spiritual growth happens when we engage, when we exercise, when we all serve, each part doing its work. Then the body is built up. And how is it built up? It's built up in love. I got a couple questions for you I want you to talk about on the way home. And so you can write these down if you're here in person. If you're online, they'll be in the screen. So you can take a screenshot of it if you want. But here's the first question for you. What's one step I've been taking towards spiritual growth? What is one step that you've been doing pretty good on? That one of the steps that we've talked about today, what is one area in your spiritual life that you've been moving forward and you've been seeing some spiritual growth? Talk about that either with yourself or if you're with a group of people, with your family at home, in a car ride on the way to lunch after this. Share that and go, you know what? Where have I been growing? Where have I seen God moving in my life? Question two, what's one area in my spiritual life that I need to grow up in? The truth is that every single one of us has a weak spot. None of us has yet achieved that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So identifying that area that you're not strong in and going, you know what? You need to work on your abs. You know what I'm saying? You need to start doing some core exercises. Or, hey, you know what? You might want to work on those legs or whatever it is that's a part of your spiritual makeup. Determine what that is. And sometimes the person in the car with you or the person on the couch with you, they might be able to help you out and go, guess what? I'm going to speak the truth in love right now. I give you permission to do that on Valentine's. Speak the truth in love and say, hey, if you can't see what your weak spot is, I'll tell you right now. It's this. And then receive that. And then God, ask God to help you grow in that area this week. Guess what? That's a prayer that God wants to answer. He wants us to be a church that's growing up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family. Lord, thank you for the price that you paid at the cross, giving your life so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could enter into your family and into a relationship with you. But God, now we ask that you would help us to grow up both individually and collectively. Lord, help us to be more mature this year than we were last year. God, I pray that we would not be blown around here and there, but that we would be stable. Lord, that we would grow up in you. Lord, that our speech would be seasoned with salt, that we would exude truth and love, and that we would minister to others, and we would allow others to minister to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would also make it clear to us how we need to be serving you, how we need to be loving our neighbors to our left and our right. Lord, how we need to be ministering to the church family so that we are building ourselves up in love. Lord, we look forward to the future that you have for us here at Belmont. We're looking forward to the exciting days, weeks, months, years ahead. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen.